And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
What's going on, Tampa Bay? Welcome to RBLR Bucks Podcast, your go-to spot for everything Tampa Bay Buccaneers related. Well, whether it's the latest draft buzz, player updates, or just anything Buccaneers related, you know we already got you covered. I am one of your co-hosts tonight, Musab, and we are less than a month from the NFL draft, which kicks off April 24th. So, you know, we're going to be diving into all things Bucks, you know, potential picks, the big moves, everything else in between during this offseason. Fortunately, at least there's some moves going on. At least it's not just a completely kind of, you know, that scene from those Wild West movies where that little haystack is rolling. So any kind of action is better than no action. But folks, you already know the drill. What I'm about to say next is drop the comments. Tell us how you really feel. All right. You know, we're going to drop a couple of, you know, prospects, or, you know, we'll share our own insights about other, you know, Buccaneers related things. But the biggest thing is we want to hear from you, of course, because, you know, we value, you know, your opinions, and we really do appreciate you listening to us. So, and folks, as always, you know, I'm never, ever flying solo. All right. To my right, joining me is the one and only Mr. Zach Blaine. Zach, I got a quick question, I guess. You know, we got a little bit of that March Madness action going on. You got any teams in mind that you think might win it all, or any upsets? Have you been watching? Or, I guess that should have been my first question.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could guess you and tell you some stuff that, like, maybe sounds like it makes sense. I have not paid a lick of attention to March Madness this year. It's probably the first year I haven't, but I know Tennessee's still in, and I think Auburn's still in. I've got Auburn winning the whole thing. I was talking to some guys the other day, but no particular reason for that, if I'm being honest.
I gotcha. Not going to lie, to me, I was kind of just riding that little McNeese State wagon because of Amir Khan, but obviously you know, every year they have to have someone, you know, some kind of icon. They had Sister Jean in the past, so I guess he's this year. Also, FYI, he's transferring to NC State. I didn't realize these guys are also part of the transfer portal.
Well, his NIL, their coach got the head coaching job.
So I guess he's kind of just riding along with them. Yeah. But
I think there's two of them that are going.
Yeah, it's just crazy that, you know, you see these kind of things on social media that Amir Khan is transferring. But anyways, this show isn't about March Madness. This show isn't about Amir Khan. But, you know, this show is about my other co-host to my left, Mr. Carter Brantley. Carter, I guess, you know, maybe same question for you if you have been watching any March Madness, or if not, that's totally fine. I mean, there's still plenty of other things going on. You know, the Rays are getting in some action, the Rowdies, the Sun, the Lightning. Other teams, you know, outside of Tampa.
I've definitely put March Madness on at night and then fallen asleep like 5 minutes in.
I don't blame you.
Falling asleep television show, and then my girlfriend yells at me to turn the TV off. And you know, but it's been great, man. I think Auburn's gonna win it all. I'm kind of with Zach. Again, based on nothing but like vibes.
Exactly. Yeah,
my boss at work is also a big Auburn fan, so like, shout out him. You know, he's a good boss, so I'll support for him. Put on for the boy. I'm excited to talk some Bucks football. Obviously, like you said, there's a little bit of action. You know, it's not like you said total tumbleweeds. You know, rolling down the Western Highway, which was beautiful visualization, by the way, Mr. Treek. I loved it. So we'll start with that. Sua Opeta, he is back. Obviously, he suffered that season-ending injury before the season even started. Super unfortunate. And the Bucks just, you know, they brought him back on another one-year deal. Very valuable depth piece, just kind of a backup for the interior offensive line. Nothing really much to say else other than that. We won't focus too much time on Sua Opeta because we've already talked about him last year, and you know, he didn't play a snap, unfortunately. So there's not really much else to say. But I wanted to focus on the rest of the division's offseason because we've been talking a lot about the Bucks. Obviously, rightfully so. This is RBLR Bucks, but you know, they play in the same division as three other teams that have had interesting, weird off seasons, depending on your perspective. So are there any storylines from the rest of the division that kind of popped out at you when you think about how the rest of the division's off season's gone? Zach, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on the rest of this weird division's off season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the Saints keep getting to spend money. That's kind of confusing to me. The Falcons, I think, will be the new kind of dumpster fire with everyone they've not been able to re-sign. I don't know if they'll be a dumpster fire. Let me rephrase that. I don't know if they'll be a dumpster fire, but they lost a lot of talent on the defense. And the Panthers, I don't know. I'm not convinced on the Panthers yet, but I'm also I think they might be kind of sneaky if Bryce Young plays like he played the last half of the season last year.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So it's a weird – the division seems weird this year. I don't have like a good read on really anyone outside of like how the Saints keep getting to spend money. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness, it's we say this every offseason. We have no idea what the rest of the team's plans are. It's just kind of confusing. It seems like they're kind of, you know, wheeling and dealing, free balling, just kind of flying by the seat of their pants. Just some weird stuff. I mean, the Falcons have invested so much into their offense, and yet they still have like a lot of important skill positions on rookie deals. They have the highest cap committed to their offense in the NFL, which is just really mind-boggling to me. But you know, that's the Falcons, that's the Dirty Birds. Musab, how about you, man? Was there anything that happened this offseason with the other teams in the NFC South that sort of raised your eyebrow, if you will?
No, to be honest, nothing from our NFC South rivals. It's always been a weird season or off season in the NFC South, and you know, curious to see how things go on. I mean, if anything, I think every single one of these teams, including us, I think us is really just more heavily on the defense. But the other teams, I would probably say they should definitely be, you know, looking a little bit more aggressively compared to us with the offense. I mean, think about the Saints. I mean, who do they have other than Chris Olave? I mean, Rashid Shaheed is pretty sure he's coming back off an injury. I don't know anyone else who stands out from their team from the top of my head. So I imagine they don't have any valuable, you know, depth pieces.
It's tough.
Same thing. I mean, yeah, same thing with the, you know, the Panthers, you know, working on their D-line, or, you know, even with their, you know, another, again, adding another, you know, key wide receiver for someone for Bryce Young to work on. So if anything, I haven't put too much thought into it, but I am, you know, looking forward to seeing, you know, how we match up against, first of all, our NFC South rivals, but also with the rest of the league, because nothing's more embarrassing than making a stupid pick, you know, like getting Roberto Aguayo in the third round.
Second round.
Oh, my God. Oh, even worse. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I feel you. It's definitely it's been a weird offseason, and there are a lot of kind of weird needs that these teams have because they're plentiful and they kind of share, they kind of interlope, you know, they're kind of the same. Like, I think you mentioned it, Musab, the Saints, Falcons, and Panthers could all use some defensive help. Like, they could all use sort of front seven, you know, pass rush, linebacker. Like, they could all really use some upgrades in those areas. And like you mentioned, the Saints and the Panthers specifically, they could use another playmaker. The Panthers could probably use a couple more playmakers, truth be told. So it's a weird draft that a lot of these teams are entering, because they sort of have a multitude of needs, and yet they don't really have a means of, you know, addressing them with high draft picks, because they're all just in possession of their own picks. Cool, but they don't have any extras. So, you know, they're going to be kind of having to find some hidden gems, like Musab always says. But Zach, are there any positions that we kind of missed going over the draft needs of our division rivals? Are there any positions that pop out that you might think that we missed discussing these three other division teams?
I mean, I think the Saints still need a quarterback.
Right.
I know they have some, but I think they still need a quarterback. No, I think you kind of touched on the front seven, I think, is the biggest thing for literally all of them. I think the Saints are a little lower on that list because of they just signed Chase Young, or re-signed Chase Young. Right. So I think they're a little lower on the list of front. They don't have a D tackle, I guess. Or I guess still would be up there.
Right.
I do think that the offensive side of the ball is where they need to improve the most. And I just don't know that any of these teams have the ability to do that without either reaching or trading down in the draft to restock on some draft picks.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be really interesting, especially with the Panthers, because, you know, they've got Bryce Young. I think they're kind of settled on that. I'd be shocked. But then again, the Falcons drafted Michael Penix last year, so I guess I can't really rule anything out. But, you know, there's going to be a weird quarterback needy team that maybe wants to trade up and make sure that another team doesn't sneak up and grab, you know, whether it's Shador or whether it's, you know, Jalen Milroe. I don't know. That's been a weird name.
That's the issue with this draft, though, is that outside of the top two, like, I don't think anyone's going to be drafting a quarterback the rest of the first round.
Yeah, and I feel you.
Crazier.
Right. Yeah, I feel you. They shouldn't be drafting a quarterback in the first round. But, you know, these NFL teams, man, they love to do some silly stuff. They love to pull some rabbits out of the hats. But I know you mentioned the Saints needing a quarterback, which was really interesting. And Musab, I want to throw this question to you. Are you kind of surprised that the Saints are still in the Derek Carr business? Because there were some rumors that maybe they'd, you know, cut bait. But then, of course, you have to deal with the cap issues and then you don't have a starting quarterback. So what are your thoughts on Derek Carr and that whole situation with the Saints?
I think it's really odd that it's been kind of stretched out, you know, this long. I mean, it's obviously it's the quarterback position. I feel like, you know, these kind of things need to be prioritized immediately. But I mean, you know, as a Buccaneers fan, I, you know, wish them all the best, but not too much of all the best. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say all the worst because it makes me sound like an asshole, but right. I mean, yeah, that's fine. Hey, listen, if they want to do this, you know, this is the NFL. This is not like some small little random high school league or something. You know, everyone knows what they need to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm sure someone in that front office staff has the mental capacity to, you know, try to prioritize this a little bit more, but you know what, they might have something else in mind, and I guess I'll maybe throw it back at y'all with a quick little one-word answer because I don't want to, you know, keep on going on and on with this. But you have an NFC South team in mind that's going to just make a really weird move. For example, like last year, I think it was the Falcons. You know, they got Michael Penix, and you're like what? Okay. Yeah. So who do you think is going to be this year? You think could it be our Bucks maybe, or do you think it – I got the Panthers. I don't know why. Something just tells me.
Yeah, I don't know if they necessarily make a Michael Penix after signing a $100 million quarterback type of crazy
right.
move.
Right. But
I've got our Bucks making a move that I don't agree with again.
Okay.
I full on expect us to take an edge round one, and I don't think we need it. For obvious reasons, I'm sure we'll get to when we go over the edge position. But I think that that's the only – the other teams have so many needs that I don't think that – even if the Saints were to, let's say, trade up and draft a quarterback, I'd be like, yeah, checks out. Sit him a year behind Derek Carr and then play him. Like, I get it. But I don't think that any of the other teams could possibly make a pick and me go, oh, they don't need that unless they take, like, a kicker around one.
Oh, man, I think the Falcons can surprise you in that arena, my friend.
So much, though. Like, okay,
I feel you.
If they took, like, if they went ahead and drafted, like, Ashton Jeanty or something, I guess
I was about to say, brother, I can see that happening.
I guess I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, that's a solid point.
Excuse me. Yeah, no, I'm kind of – I don't know. I guess I would see the Saints – trading up and drafting a quarterback is the weirdest thing that could happen, just in the realm of possibility. Like we joke about the Falcons and how they could draft Ashton Jeanty, but if that does happen, that is by far and away the most surprising thing. But I don't think that's necessarily realistic. I do think that the Saints trading up and drafting a quarterback would be shocking, especially because I don't see any world where they're able to trade up and get Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. They would be trading up to draft, you know, the Ole Miss guy whose name escapes me,
Jackson Dart.
Yeah. Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe, one of the kind of like, is this guy really even worth a first or second round pick guys?
The crazy part would be the trade up to get them, I think.
Right. For sure. Yeah. And we've seen it before. The Saints traded up to draft Marcus Davenport all those years ago, and that did not work out well. They gave up a first-round pick, an extra first to trade up to get.
He was projected to go like significantly later than.
Yeah, it was a. It was a weird thing, but yeah, I don't know. The Saints are a strange team. They're in a strange spot, And I think they could pull off some weird stuff this offseason in the draft, especially just because, you know, they've got some weird stuff going on. But if you're looking to do the anti-Saints to your wardrobe, if you're looking at your wardrobe and thinking, man, excuse me, I need a first round upgrade. My wardrobe's kind of looking like Derek Carr. I need it to look more like Baker Mayfield. Then head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some really fire stuff for you. Anything Tampa Bay sports related, we've got you covered. So, you know, we'll give you a promo code too, because it's the trolls of the offseason. Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type it in, get your 10% off your entire order. All right. So in the second half of the episode, should have mentioned this at the beginning. I realized I didn't spell it out for our listeners, but we're going to talk about interior linebackers. That's the position that we're focusing on this week. But if you've been listening to the show, then you should know this. You know what I mean? We've got laid out the plan, but we're going to go through round one and two, round three and four, and then day three, we're going to give a guy for each of us at the interior linebacker spot. So Zach, I'll let you kick us off with this position. Who you got for your round one / round two guy at interior linebacker?
You took my first round guy. so I'm going to go with another guy who could be borderline first round. Mm-hmm. Carson Schwessinger out of UCLA. Former walk-on turned All-Pro, or All-American, All-Pro, sorry. Former walk-on turned All-American. The guy is a stud, good at diagnosing play action, and knows how to fill up a hole in run defense. With that being said, he tends to get controlled by the lead blocker. but he is much better. He's a good pass defender, and he's just a guy who all around I think has the motor to be a really good future linebacker, and to have him learn behind Levante David, I think would be a key to his success.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, shoot, I like him a lot. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, but Carson out of UCLA. He's definitely that story of walk on to All American is really cool, and it really speaks to someone that, you know, can come in and do his thing, you know, really, really do his thing and
put a chip on his shoulder, it feels like.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a huge thing. That's a huge thing, especially for the linebacker position. I feel like every position you could theoretically say this in football, it's kind of a cliche. But you know, he's got to have an edge to him, you know, especially at the interior linebacker spot. I like him a lot. Musab, how about you, man? Who's your round one, round two interior linebacker?
Yeah, I was going to say, I like your guy, Carter, but in the event, you know, we're not able to snack him up or scoop him up. Snack
we're almost him like up. If we took a corner around one instead.
I'm thinking, it's been a while since I've, you know, been so enthusiastic about a Gamecock, and this is Mr. Demetrius Knight. So I'm thinking late second round, or at least that's what, you know, the reports have, man. This guy's a stud. 6'2", 235. He runs a 4.58. And let me just start off by saying that, you know, these 40s don't matter too much, but to know that a guy that kind of, you know, chunky can run that fast, it means a lot. And I'll tell you this, his tape tells me exactly, you know, why he should be picked, because really quick to hit the hole. I mean, I was watching it, and, you know, first of all of his tape, it's not like he's going against like Coastal Carolina or like Southern Alabama. I mean, this is Bama, Mizzou, Clemson, and this guy's shooting like a bullet, you know, and great at blitzing. You know, he times his rushes perfectly, really, really strong tackler, super fast, you know, when it comes to pursuit. The thing I love the most is, you know, sometimes when you're watching a guy chase someone else down and you're like, God, dive it, damn it, just go reach for him. That's what he does. He dives as far as possible. I don't know. I can't, you know, start flaunting about this guy's wingspan. I'm sure it's pretty solid being with his, you know, 6'2 height. But that being said, I think, you know, he's going to be a stud wherever he goes. Mark my words. I don't say this too much. Maybe I've never said it at all, but I think Demetrius Knight is going to be successful wherever he goes, really. Now, with the weakness, I didn't see any weakness, but of course, there's always some scout who's probably just, you know, dropping a couple of little mumbo-jumbo terms, or who knows, Carter, maybe it's the return of the interns already, all right? So, some of these reports say, you know, not shifty, you know. The guy has, I guess, you know, reports say he has this straight-line speed, which is beautiful, but he's not as shifty. I mean, you know, what do you expect out of a guy? You want him to be God at this point, you know, so Yeah, you know, that's totally fine. You can always work on the shiftiness. I'm sure, you know, wherever team he ends up, you know, they can do those kind of drills and all that. But absolute stud. And, oh, man, I'd be so damn excited if we scoop him up.
Yeah, I like Knight a lot as well. And like Zach said, if the Bucks decide to go a different direction or if my guy's not available, if you can't figure out who my guy is for the round one linebacker, I don't know what to tell you. I would have felt silly if we didn't address or didn't talk about this guy. But it's Jahad Campbell out of Alabama. He's only 21, got the 9.8 RAS score, you know, super athletic for his size. And he kind of checks all the boxes in terms of athletic ability. He used to be an edge. He's really solid in coverage, which is surprising for a guy that used to be a pass rusher. But he also still has, you know, the wingspan, like Mushab was talking about, to disrupt pass lanes. It's just he's learning the position. You know, he's still kind of figuring out how to read rushes. You know, he can be fooled by sort of some counters and misdirections. He's also not great at contain, and he can be kind of fooled with quarterback scramble, you know, the pump fakes and all that stuff. So it's just learning, but I think that drafting him and letting him just kind of figure some stuff out with Levante David would be really super helpful for him. So that's my guy, Jahad Campbell. You know, he might be gone. A lot of people have him going to the Saints or the Falcons maybe. So he's, you know, he's kind of an interesting guy to look at for sure. And then my next guy for the round 3/round 4 category, I'll keep this going. Barrett Carter out of Clemson. I'm not picking him just for his last name. He's only 22. He's got the, round 3/round 4 grade, but he's tremendous in zone coverage. Really, really good. Just struggles against the run because he's a little bit undersized. So he's not really huge. You know, he's only 6 feet tall, 230, which is a little bit smaller, but that's become less of an issue over the years, especially with, you know, the shift towards more of a passing game. You know, unfortunately, as much as I would love to see more emphasis on the run, that's just fortunately not how things go. But he can be really valuable on special teams because he's super athletic. He's really fast. So he can be a big time thumper. So Barrett Carter out of Clemson, that's my round 3/round 4 guy. Mr. Treek, how about you, man? Who you got in round 3/round 4?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got Mr. Kobe King, brother of, I believe, Kalen King, who is in the NFL right now. And this is from, yeah, linebacker from Penn State. I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's hard to kind of top, you know, what I said about Demetrius Knight. Right. So, but what I will say is, I mean, this guy, he's still pretty solid. I mean, reports have him going in the fourth round. I think he's a strong run stopper. You know, pretty good at, you know, kind of beating the blockers, you know, to the spot, of course. Really physical tackler. One thing that I like about him compared to Demetrius Knight is, you know, once he latches on you, he really is not letting go. And, you know, watching his tape, I mean, you know, sure, he racks up a lot of tackles and all that. But, I mean, again, same thing. You know, he will do whatever he can to just slow down, you know, the offense or the, you know, the opponent in any way he can. And, I mean, that's really about it. I mean, when it comes to, I guess, the weaknesses, you know, I guess he kind of, you know, he does play aggressive, but, you know, maybe sometimes a little bit too aggressive, you know, kind of, you know, spending a little bit too much time, I guess. You know, I saw actually two reports, one from, I think, NFL Draft Buzz and another one basically saying that, you know, he sometimes spends a little too much time weaving through trash to find the ball. So I don't know if trash means his opponents or I don't know what they're talking about, but I guess maybe he's just a little bit too slow to kind of have those kind of quick reactions.
Offensive line.
Right. What, yeah, he's having a lot of trouble navigating, you know, making
through the trashy offensive line. Yeah.
That is kind of harsh to label them as trashy, but I do get what they're saying. Yeah. I do get what they're saying, but yeah, I like King a lot. He's a lot of fun out of Penn State. Yeah. I mean, Penn State LBU, you know, they've had that label for a while and you know, hopefully he's another one in a long line of really successful Penn State linebackers. He'd be really tremendous. And I like the emphasis on the defensive leader aspect of it because, you know, like you said, he just, you know, orchestrates plays. And that can be something that, you know, maybe long-term they see him as sort of a replacement for Levante David in that role. Because obviously David's the quarterback of the defense right now. But, you know, he's getting up there in age. You know, this every season could be his last. So, yeah, really, really important and really interesting for Kobe King especially. I'll be curious to see how his career plays out. Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Who you got in round 3/round 4?
My round 3/round 4, I'll be honest with you, is actually my favorite linebacker in the class. I got Jeffrey Bossa out of Oregon. Mm-hmm. converted from safety when he got to Oregon so that Oregon could have the most athletic and best players on the field at one time. So he's kind of new to being an inside linebacker, but was along what Musab said, he's kind of the guy who was the voice of the defense and could get everyone set up when they needed to be. Solid size at 6'1". He's not huge, but he's 6'1", 230. Great coverage guy and has the ability to rush the quarterback, which would fit perfect in Tampa's defense. I don't have, like, it's going to sound bad, but I agree with what Musab said about Demetrius Knight. I don't see anything bad with him outside of he doesn't seem very natural sometimes when he's playing run defense. But he's all around just a solid, solid player. I would love to take him round three if we missed out on Jahad Campbell, which I don't think we will. That's where my head is going. I think we draft Campbell. But I would like Bosa more than Campbell for a developmental piece.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, when you're moving from the safety to the linebacker spot, you see a lot of times guys struggling with, you know, run assignments and stuff like that. And that's just part of it. You know, that's just part of making that transition. And there's no one that's better than, like, Levante David in coverage can be a bit tough, but by golly, he still can do his thing in run defense. So I think that would be a really interesting, development. And he could certainly be like a third linebacker with Anthony Walker being sort of that number two linebacker if the Bucs aren't super confident in Bosa's ability in the run, because, you know, their run defense has been pretty good. It was really good again last year. So that's sort of their calling card. So I think that, you know, maybe they see Bosa as more of a long-term project type of guy, like you said. But, yeah, I like Bosa a lot. And finishing us out, day three, we're coming to the end of our interior linebacker portion of our draft previews. And, Mr. Tariq, I want you to get us started. Who you got for your day three interior linebacker?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got Jay Higgins from Iowa, thinking like a sixth-rounder kind of guy. Absolute beast tackler. I mean, for a guy in the sixth round, I mean, I'd probably say, you know, he would be my hidden gem. Wins battles for sure. I mean, you know, once he's got you, I mean, he is pushing you back. If anything, he really, really drives those legs. That's what I was watching in his tape. I'd probably say he's still absolute stud. I mean, even in the sixth round, I mean, you know, during his time at Iowa, again, phenomenal guy. You know, almost every single game he was, you know, known to be like a double digit tackler. And what I like a lot as well is, you know, he's got some special teams experience, which could, you know, provide a little bit of more value to the table if we're looking at him in the later rounds. But I mean, I guess, as you know, the only thing is, you know, the weaknesses are kind of just the things that, you know, people like, you know, Jahad Campbell and Demetrius Knight kind of excel in, is kind of, you know, that more high IQ football. So there's my guy.
Yeah, I like him a lot, especially with the special teams experience. That's so valuable with these day three guys, because a lot of the time you're not necessarily drafting, you know, as you all know, you're not necessarily drafting guys that you intend to start. You know, these guys, if you're drafting a guy in the sixth round, you might want him to play a lot of special teams. You might want him to more be on that side of the ball. So that's pretty key. My day three guy, he's really, you know, kind of with all these day three guys, it's tough to really find one that's not without a massive amount of flaws. And mine's Jack Kaiser out of Notre Dame. He's unfortunately going to be 25 by the time the season starts, which not ideal. You know, that's not great for a rookie. Definitely not great, but he can be a good contributor. Like Musab mentioned with his guy out of Iowa, he can be a good contributor in special teams. His problem is just that, unfortunately, he's not super great in coverage, not super athletic, not great size. So what exactly can he do? Right. But he's a great tackler. And he's really good at diagnosing. He was sort of, like we've mentioned with some of these other guys, the quarterback of the defense. So that's going to be huge for him if he wants to try to earn that starting spot. But even if he doesn't, I think he'd be fine as a special teams or fourth linebacker. The likelihood of him being a part of a starting linebacker group is pretty low, unfortunately, due to his late start in terms of his age, as well as his lack of athletic ability. But Zach, bring us home with your day three interior linebacker guy. Here you go.
It's going to blow y'all's mind, but I also have a guy who could potentially play special teams right away. Nick Martin out of Oklahoma State. I couldn't get an Oregon State player because I didn't have an Oregon State player. That's right, Hazel. There wasn't any Oregon State inside linebacker, so I had to go with a different OSU. So I went with Nick Martin out of Oklahoma State. One of the hardest hitting linebackers in this class. Unfortunately, he's got the size of a safety. He's only 5'11", 221. 5'11 and a half. I'll give him that half inch. 5'11 and a half, 221. Not very good in coverage, but a decent run defender. And if he puts it all together, I've actually got in my notes, really athletic, could be a Musab Tariq hidden gem type guy. If it all gets put together, he could be a steal. Unfortunately, with that size, I don't think he will be. But my prediction is that he makes an impact right away on special teams. He's been playing at Oklahoma State for a while on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, with these day three guys, special teams is so huge. And the undersized aspect of it is tough. You know, it's tough in the NFL at the linebacker position to be that small. But at the same time, you know, there's reasons to like him. You know, he's definitely super athletic. I really like that how much he pops in that aspect of it. But it's going to be interesting to see how all these guys moving forward progress in the draft and in their career. So we're rounding towards the end of our episode, but we got a little overtime special for you. Mr. Tariq, you got to give us our weekly update on the Dunedin Highlanders. How's that going?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Dunedin Highlanders are on a bye week this past weekend, but as of right now, yeah, we're still standing strong on top of the league rankings as we are 3-0. We are now going to be facing the 0-3 Highland County Hurricanes this Saturday, who have, I think, only scored 8 points in the last three games, and they have, unfortunately, just about 17, 18 players, while we have about 50-55. So it's going to be it's going to be a bloodbath, I guess. I'll tell you this, though. The backups are excited because they know they're going to be getting a lot of action. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, man, we got one dude who was probably never going to ever see the field. But you know what? He may get a chance, man. He's kind of reminds me of Rudy. He's like the Rudy of our team. But should be fun. And it's going to be here in Dunedin, Florida. Kickoff's at 6 p.m. But, you know, gates open at 4 o'clock. So, you know, as the Scottish people say, come join us for the crack. That means fun. Okay. So, yeah, that's all.
Gotcha. Hey, very cool. We'll be following along for sure. We really appreciate the update. But that'll do it for us this week. We'll be back at you next week with another draft position preview. And we'll see if there's any more Bucks news that pops up over the week. You know, and even if not, we're still going to be here. We're still going to be talking Bucks football. So definitely give us a like or subscribe if you liked what you heard and you want to stay in the loop. You can give us a follow at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks. We'd really appreciate it. Thanks to my co-host. Thanks to y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week. And as always,
go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.